big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're going to Boca Chica, Texas. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. He's going to inform us the fate of Starship Super Heavy sitting on the launch pad, waiting. Bob, a very good evening to you. Have you got good news for it?
No. And I will emphasize this once again in deep, bold, italic letters that are underlined. I very much wish my analysis here is utterly wrong. I pray I am wrong, but I've been continuing consistently correct in this. Back in 2001 and so forth, when SpaceX was trying to get its launch license for the first time, Starship Super Heavy launched. SpaceX was ready in the fall of 21. In the fall of 22. Everyone said they were going to be ready to go. FAA had an environmental assessment thing that kept getting delayed and kept getting delayed. And I predicted in December of 22 that it would be at least 4 to 6 months before it would go because the Biden administration was stalling and slow-walking things. And everyone poo-pooed me and said I'm being such cynical, but I was correct. They didn't launch until April. They had 3 more months of delays. It was literally almost a 8 months to 6 months delay from when they were ready to launch with a regulatory intransigence. So April, they did their launch. Of course, it wasn't a complete success. Not surprisingly, because this is a prototype and these were test launches. They expect things to go wrong and they use that to figure out how to fix it. At the time, Elon Musk said he thinks he'll be ready in August. I said they aren't going to launch, I bet, till the end of the year, if that early. Maybe late in the fall, but they're going to be delayed once again by FAA and the Biden administration, regulatory delays. Well, SpaceX was ready to launch on September 5th. They had the whole thing stacked on the launch pad, and Musk said they were ready to launch on September 5th, so he only missed his August goal by a week or so. But were they able to launch? No, they don't have a launch license, and I predicted once again that they're not going to get it for several more months. And once again, a lot of outlets poo-poo this, and a lot of other space geeks have poo-pooed this, say I'm being too pessimistic and cynical, and I agree, I wish I am wrong here. But now we have new information. There is no launch license yet. It's been unclear why there's no launch license, because SpaceX completed the investigation and the FAA closed out that investigation on its side. It seems like everything's been covered, but no launch license yet. Well, we had an interview with FAA's acting chief, Polly Trottenberg, and she says they hope to award a license by the end of October. They hope to do that. However, in the discussions, at least with one news source, she supposedly said, as quote, SpaceX would still need a separate environmental approval from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service before launch. Trottenberg did not say how long that might take. This tells me that, yes, they're not going to launch before the end of the year, because the Fish and Wildlife Service was one of the main agencies holding up getting the launch license the previous time. They don't like SpaceX at Boca Chica for several reasons. One, the environmental overreach. They think everything's going to kill everything, and they don't want anything to be done. And secondly, there's a lot of people in the administration and the environmental side that don't like Elon Musk generally for political reasons, and they'd like to squash it. And so we can expect the Fish and Wildlife to slow things down. There are several things we should note about all this. One, in the Trump, prior to the Biden administration, not so much Trump, prior to the Biden administration, every single test launch was not put through this kind of detailed gauntlet by different government agencies. When SpaceX was doing the suborbital launches of Starship, they were doing them almost monthly. They do a quick investigation, figure out what they need to fix. They fix it, they launch again. And they literally did. They did like 8 to 12 launches in a period of a little over a year. They were literally almost launching once a month. Biden administration comes along, and suddenly we need to have full investigations as if this was an airplane crash. And every single launch has to be reviewed by Fish and Wildlife. That's absurd. It's never been done before. So I'm looking at this, and now it's still possible I could be wrong. It could, there are some people that say Fish and Wildlife has no say in this. But right now I'm getting real clear indications that we're sitting on a situation that could be stretched out for months, John. Months and months.
Ariana 6. The status of Vulcan, Ariana 6, and New Glenn. These are three mysteries for boosters. Can you give us a positive here, Bob?
I'm not sure. Yes, I can in some ways, yes. This I linked to an article on Behind the Black. I linked to it. Somewhere it was written elsewhere, analyzing in detail the status of all these three new rockets, Vulcan, Ariana 6, and New Glenn, all of which Amazon signed to launch its constellation of Kuiper satellites that has to put up about 1,600 by July of 26 and all 3,200 by July of 29. They've launched none yet. And they're depending on their launches on these three rockets, none of which have yet launched. They're all new rockets. And so this article did a nice summary. And to summarize it, both ULA and Ariana Space are right now in the final testing process. And so it really looks like their rockets are going to launch next year. We've got to keep our fingers crossed. Some things might still go wrong. But they really do look like they're going to launch before sometime, both of them. ULA is even targeting by December of this year, but it's not known. Believe that. So we're looking at by next year, both of these rockets will be operational. Blue Origin, that's another story. Blue Origin says they'll be launching next year, but no one should bet on that. They've been saying that from year to year now for 4 years, and we don't really see any obvious progress. They have done, even if they are going to get close, they've done no launch pad fueling tests, no dress rehearsal countdowns, no engine tests on the launch pad in the rocket, and that all has to happen, and that's what Ariana Space and Blue ULA are doing right now with their new rockets, and it's taking time. It's going to take about a year, and so that's where Blue Origin stands. So none of this looks great. The sum total is that Amazon is going to be under great pressure to get its satellites into orbit using these rockets, and this once again makes us think about the lawsuit by some stockholders in Amazon saying, why didn't Amazon sign SpaceX for some of these launches? Because SpaceX is there and is operational and could launch a lot. And that's the question that must be asked.
Firefly has a success and it also wins a new NASA contract. What is Firefly?
Firefly is one of these new rocket startups in the U.S. It had two launch attempts previously. The last one reached orbit, though it wasn't the planned orbit, so it wasn't 100% successful, but it did reach orbit. So their third launch this week was a big success. It was a launch for the Space Force. It was a launch out of Vandenberg. It was a launch that was designed to demonstrate that once they got the go-ahead to launch, they could stack the rocket with the payload and get it off within 24 hours. And they did that. And they got it into orbit, in the correct orbit, it appears. So this was a complete success for Firefly, which means they're going to begin more steady operational launches now. And that makes them a direct competitor with Rocket Lab. And that means we've got two small sets of operational rocket companies that are successful.
I need a definition here, Bob. When you say small sat, what are you talking about? The small booster, small sat? Is that more?
No, I'm talking about small satellites. That's a abbreviation. Sorry, I should be clear. That's an abbreviation for small satellites. These are things, CubeSats are small. A CubeSat is a satellite that's 4 inches squared. You can hold in the palm of your hand. They are larger because that's a unit, and they can put multiple units together. But even if you do that, you're ending up with a very small satellite relative to what had been done before. And that's where the satellite industry has been evolving to, towards the CubeSat, NanoSat, tiny satellite size, because it's cheaper to launch. You can get more done for less money. And so that's why we have all these startups to launch small sats. And Firefly is one of them.
And it doesn't compete with Falcon 9 because that can
happen. Yeah, well, you know, no, they do compete. They do compete. The SpaceX periodically launches what it calls its transporter missions, which is where they put a lot of CubeSats onto a Falcon 9. They get a lot of customers, and they can charge them a lot less, but they all don't get into the orbits they wish to get to, which is where the really orbital tugs come in and try to get them there. So the kind of competition here is if you go with a Firefly or a Rocket Lab, you will be put in exactly the orbit you want, and you will get primary payload capabilities, but you'll pay more. Or you can go with Space Falcon 9 or any other bigger rocket, but you'll go as a secondary payload or as a one of many payloads, and you will not get the ideal orbit, but you'll have to hire a tug to do it, and even then it's hard to get to the right orbit.
Artemis Accords, what is that, and what is the significance of Germany?
Germany has signed the Artemis Accords this week. It's the 29th nation to do it. It's essentially the last major European nation to sign on. Both France and Germany were slow to get in on the Artemis Accords. They were waiting to see how other political issues played out. When things finally went totally sour with Russia, which doesn't want to sign the Artemis Accords and is opposed to the Artemis Accords, France signed on finally because they decided they're not going to partner with Russia in anything. And now Germany has signed on as well. And I point out on Behind the Black that we're essentially now seeing the Artemis Accord alliance that's going to compete with China, Russia, and a handful of third world leftist nations in the exploration of the solar system down the road. You've got on one side the Artemis Accord alliance, which is mostly capitalist nations that respect private property, and on the other side you've got the former communist nations and maybe not so former communist nations like China and Russia, and a few other communist nations like Venezuela and South Africa, pushing for space exploration run by government and controlled and owned by government. It's kind of like the Cold War all over again, John, but it'll be in space next time.
There are Indian companies, I presume these are commercial private companies, bidding for ownership of ISRO, the now very successful India space organization. Is it for sale?
No, it's not India's space program, ISRO. Its agency is for sale. It's for one rocket that ISRO has developed in the last 3 years. ISRO, about 3 years ago, decided it was going to make its own small sat rocket called the Small Sat Lift Launch Vehicle, SSLV. Specifically to compete with Rocket Lab and now Firefly. And they built it and they've launched it and they successfully demonstrated it's operational, but it's owned by the government. Well, the Modi government in India wants to transition from a government-run and owned space program to a competitive, chaotic commercial market owned by private companies, just like NASA's doing. And so they have set up a process right now where they're offering to turn over lock, stock, and barrel the SSLV rocket to a private company. And a month or so ago, they announced Indian companies that are interested in taking over this rocket to submit a bid or a request. They haven't said whether they'll actually charge the money for it. That's the thing that's not clear. Either way, 23 companies have now said they have interest in taking over SSLV. Any one of those companies, they get it, it will be a very cheap and quick way to enter the small sat launch market and compete with Firefly and Rocket Lab. They will have a rocket that is proven, that is operational, and they then will own it and be able to make money from it. So this is very interesting. It's going to play out, John.
Quickly, Roscosmos has launched 3 astronauts to ISS. I'm presuming they launched from the Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan and not Vostochny. Do we know?
That's correct. They don't do any manned flights from Vostochny now, but they launched from Kazakhstan on a Soyuz 2 rocket with 3 astronauts on board, one of whom was an American. This is part of that barter deal where Americans and Russians trade on each other's vehicles so they know how to use it. And so they launched successfully, and they're on the way to ISS.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.